Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We pray for the people of the Gulf. And we pray that a hand may guide us through the storm towards a brighter day.
Whether we agree with Al Gore's politics or not, we certainly don't ever want to celebrate the end of a marriage. And we've seen a lot of mockery, including from the right, the likes of Rush Limbaugh, who's on his own fourth marriage and probably is not really in a position to judge on this one.
There are three possibilities here. You are either the son of God, or you're delusional, or you're a very successful con man.
The Jesus statue at Solid Rock Church went up in flames last night after it was hit by lightning.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, this has been a story that it seems to have no end. Even when the voters in California speak resoundingly, 7 million some odd voters voting in favor of Proposition 8 that would keep marriage as one man and one woman in that largest and most influential of the states here in the U.S. And of course, it's taken on another dimension. Prop 8 now under federal, what should we say, judicial review. It's being challenged in federal court. Inevitably, this will go to the Supreme Court. And that will mean if Prop 8 dies there, gay marriage nationally. Can you believe that? That's hard to believe, but I'm not overstating the case. For the first few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the 16th of June, we're going to be talking with Maggie Gallagher. She'll join us live from the courthouse steps at the federal trial for Prop 8 in San Francisco. A little bit later in this first hour, we'll talk about, oddly enough, Stone Age artifacts being found in Iron Age tombs. They're not where they should be. Frank Sherwin of the Institute for Creation Research will be our guest. Then I want to hear from you. We have a little audio open lines here in the first hour. An ABC News story brings us three men who believe themselves to be, firmly, Jesus Christ, returned in some form or another. I want your reaction to this story about three men claiming to be Christ in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us at IssuesETC, or leave your reaction to that story of three claimed Christs at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. In the second hour of the program, a new survey says that lesbians are the best parents. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us to talk about that. And then we'll begin a series on Jesus miracles, talking about miracles of cleansing, exorcism, and forgiveness. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we'll round off today's program, beginning that series with us this summer. Maggie Gallagher joins us. She is president of the Organization for Marriage, and she joins us from outside the federal courthouse in San Francisco to bring us an update on the closing arguments in the federal legal challenge to Prop 8 in California. Maggie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
What's the latest on this federal trial for Prop 8?
Well, Ted Olson, the former Bush Solicitor General, who seems to have abandoned all idea of judicial restraint and has adopted the view that this judge has the right to overturn the votes of 7 million Californians, just wrapped up his arguments. I didn't see any particularly brilliant lawyering. He is leaning very heavily on his expert witnesses and arguing that a historian named Nancy Cott, basically, her opinion about what the meaning and purpose of marriage is should rule, and that ordinary Californians have no rhyme or reason for their belief that marriage has something to do with bringing together mothers and fathers. So it's been an extraordinary morning, and happy to be here in this historic day, and I'm going to be live blogging it for anyone who wants to keep up on a minute-by-minute basis at Prop8case.com. But in the afternoon now, we've been through the San Francisco attorney's lawyers and Ted Olson. Pretty soon we'll be switching and we'll hear Chuck Cooper and the Alliance Defense Fund arguments for marriage. So we're looking forward to that.
Give us just a brief history of how Prop 8 came to be a subject of a federal trial.
Well, it is amazing. In 2000, California voters passed a law called Prop 22 that said marriage is a man and a woman. And then the California Supreme Court overturned that. So we and a bunch of other people got together and we passed Prop 8, which was a constitutional amendment that overturned that Supreme Court decision. And it said basically marriage means a man and a woman. You know, California has full civil unions for the practical benefits for same-sex couples. And then they went to the California Supreme Court and actually argued that the citizens have, they wanted to try to get the Supreme Court to say California citizens have no right to amend their own constitution. You know, a right clearly laid out in that state constitution. Talk about core civil rights to organize and to vote and to participate in the political process. And that strategy failed. So now they're in federal court asking, and this I think your listeners need to be aware, this isn't about gay marriage in California. They're going to end up with this case in the Supreme Court asking the Supreme Court to impose gay marriage in all 50 states. And Ted Olson admitted it as much in his final arguments that there's nothing particular about California in this case. It would apply equally to the laws of other states.
So what argument do you expect those who are trying to uphold Prop 8 to make?
Well, the first is that, you know, in legal terms, the ball game is what kind of scrutiny does the court apply, what level of scrutiny. And so the first thing Chuck Cooper is going to argue is that all we need to justify marriage laws is to show that there's a rational basis. Sexual orientation has never, marriage is not gender discrimination. It obviously is not intended to handicap one gender over another. Sexual orientation has never been held to be the subject of strict scrutiny, that there is no the fundamental right to marriage laid out in the Supreme Court decisions does not include a right to same-sex marriage or a right to polygamy. It's the right of a man and woman to come together and found a family with the recognition of the state. The defense will point to the court cases that recognize there is a rational basis for marriage, that only unions, in fact, even Judge Walker pointed out this morning that the defendants had identified a difference between same-sex and opposite-sex couples. I mean, it's not hard. It's kind of a big, obvious difference. Husbands and wives unions are necessary because we have to bring men and women together to make and raise their children together. And same-sex unions are not necessary to the public good in the same way. And so that's really all it should take that should be end of this case. We've identified a clear difference that serves an important public interest, and that should be the end of it. But, you know, we don't have a lot of confidence in this judge, so we do not expect a favorable ruling out of him, and nor out of the Ninth Circuit. I think it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court, and there it's about a 50-50 bet, but I'm optimistic we'll win.
We're talking to Maggie Gallagher. She's outside the federal courthouse in San Francisco, where closing arguments are being made in the Prop 8 trial. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Let's talk a little bit about that, Maggie. Inevitably, to the Supreme Court it will go. What realistically do you expect to happen there?
Well, I'm optimistic. I don't think that, you know, there are people who, it really is going to come down if we have the court we have now. And by the way, that means winning the presidency in 2012 could become especially important because it may take 2 years before this case ends up in the Supreme Court. But with the court we have now, we clearly have four votes in our favor, and they almost certainly have at least four votes on their side. And it's going to come down to what Justice Anthony Kennedy thinks. And I do think there's a lot of arguments that I think there's a good chance that he's going to listen to reason on this. I think the idea that creating deliberately motherless children is just the same as a mother and father raising their children together, I think he's going to have a hard time believing that. So he is, however, the author of both Romer and Lawrence v. Texas, two key gay rights decisions. So there's reason for people to be concerned about how he will go. We really don't know. I do think we need state legislatures to start, if this judge overturns Prop 8, we need legislatures all over the country to pass resolutions calling on the court and the Congress to protect their voters' right to protect marriage as one man and one woman. The lawyers in this case could not be more clear. Ted Olson actually wrote, and David Boies, to this judge, that the idea that children need a mother and father is just a form of bigotry and stigma against gay people. So that's the idea that the plaintiffs in this case seek to have our own government rule as bigotry. Amazing, isn't it?
If the judge does overturn Prop 8, Maggie, what do you think the reaction of the supporters of Prop 8 will be, especially there in California?
Well, I think profound disappointment. This is kind of personal to a lot of people. This isn't just theoretical, right? People invested an enormous amount of time and treasure and blood and sweat and tears to fight using their God-given and constitutional kick-given democratic rights to promote their vision of marriage and what we think is right. And to have that taken away by one man sitting in the courtroom, that would be an extraordinarily sad and moment for not only for the people who supported Prop 8, but really for constitutional democracy in general.
All right. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Maggie Gallagher live from the federal courthouse in San Francisco, bringing us an update on the closing arguments today on the federal legal challenge to Prop 8 in California. She is chairman of the National Organization for Marriage. We do apologize for the kind of intermittent nature of the phone connection that we have with her. It is live, and she's on her cell phone outside the federal courthouse there in San Francisco. When we come back, someone says, look, this is California. California does what it does. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's yes, it has something to do with the courts usurping voters, and that's probably something that should concern us all. But California does a lot of things that we don't worry about. Why should we here in Middle America or elsewhere worry about Prop 8 in California? We'll get Maggie's answer to that question on the other side of this break. She joins us live from the federal courthouse in San Francisco.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors, and we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio. Issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. Wednesday afternoon, the 16th of June, I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Maggie Gallagher, chairman of the National Organization for Marriage, where she is bringing us a live update from the steps of the federal courthouse in San Francisco
on the federal legal challenge to Prop 8 in California. Maggie, what's the big deal here? We're out here in middle America or elsewhere in the United States. What is the big deal about this federal legal challenge in California?
Well, there's two big deals. The first is marriage itself. The idea that to make a marriage you need a husband and wife is kind of core common sense. Okay, it's the thing that points us towards the truth that, you know, we need to discipline our sexual lives in some manner if we're going to give our children a mother and father. And I happen to think that that really does matter. If for the government, this is not about what two people do in private. Maybe that's not a big deal. This is about what your government's going to teach in public. And it's going to teach that our understanding of marriage, that this understanding of marriage, and that in particular religious people's understanding of marriage, is the equivalent of racism. That's going to have consequences for a lot of people. This is gay marriage. If we lose on the gay marriage front, it's going to mean the lawyers in this case read Southern Baptist doctrine into the record to prove animus against gay people, right? And so it's going to be our government saying that our religious views are the equivalent of racism and should be treated that way. It's going to have a lot of consequences. The other great thing at stake is really there are core civil rights here at stake. It's a big deal if you worked hard, you raised money, you were given by your Constitution the right to do this, to collect signatures, to raise money, to go and speak. And a lot of people in this case underwent a lot of sacrifices because they were attacked. Their livelihoods were attacked, their business interests were attacked, and in some cases their home and their property and their cars were attacked. And people stood up with courage and with grace in love to stand for the truth about marriage. And to have the courts take a strip of our civil rights to use the democratic process is, I think, an extraordinary intrusion. It's an injustice. It's a great injustice. And I still have enough faith in this constitution of ours to hope that in the end they will not. I got to run, so I got to get back to the courtroom where they're going to keep me out.
Maggie Gallagher is chairman of the National Organization for Marriage, and she joined us live from the federal courthouse in San Francisco. You can follow Maggie throughout the day at prop8case.com. That's P-R-O-P, the number 8, case.com.